Ken Miller, Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Miller and Condon here on a Thursday. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon and Ken Miller for the next couple of hours talking sports with you. Santa came down the chimney. Trent, look what's under the tree. It's football.
Yes.
I don't care if it's preseason football or not. It's football, and it's the NBC crew, and away we go. A BMW of Des Moines guest list. You know what? I didn't even look. What do we have?
Well, we have a little bit of a change here this morning because our 11:30 guest, Scott Miller, our baseball guy who we've talked to for a long time, he picked up COVID on trade deadline day.
Brutal.
He was worn down. He thought it was just that. He woke up yesterday, still not feeling great, thought, you know, I'm probably just a little sick, run down. Took the COVID test last night and said, not going to be able to make it. He needs some sleep. He's feeling rough. So
look at that. Does that to you, right? Like Cappy was flat on his you-know-what.
It still is going on, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And it's still knocking people down in a big-time way. So 11 o'clock, we're a little light. Just Bill Bender at 11:05, and then you and me. And we got plenty to talk about because there's some fun football numbers out there, including DraftKings, who's come up with a great idea.
Yeah, I know you shared that with me. Let's tease it. Let's do that in the final hour of the program. So, what did DraftKings look? I give any of these sports operators, sports wagering, sports book operators who come into the state or wherever credit for trying to find something that's unique to their app. Mm-hmm. Right. And you almost have to you have to get creative. And you shared something yesterday when we were taping our MediaCom show, which airs on MC22. What, four times or five times?
Four times.
Four times between starting today and sometime on Saturday morning, regardless of that. So what did they come up with?
They have come up with college football versus pro football teams, NFL teams, who has more wins. So ones that make a whole lot of sense. You got the Florida Gators and the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right. Very close, obviously, in the same state.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a lot of cross-sport fans of each of those organizations and programs. So you do that. We have one local one this year, and it's intriguing.
What is it?
The Chicago Bears. Think about their win total. How many you think they're going to win?
Six.
And the Iowa State Cyclones.
Ooh, pretty good.
Yeah.
Right together. That is really good.
Who wins more games? So there's a bunch of them. We'll have some fun with that coming up in the second hour. But DraftKings came up with another way to bet.
Are they all juiced at -110 or
-115 is where 115? They all started on both sides. Mm-hmm. And I already saw last night. I re-looked at it last night and dug a little deeper. There's already a couple of 140, so they must have taken a couple of big bets on one side or the other of those. But we'll go through those props coming up in the second hour today.
That is really interesting way to go, DraftKings. Of course, we speak on behalf of DraftKings. They do a great job. We're sponsored by Circus Sports, but we can talk about both of them, and we encourage, as they will encourage you to do the same thing. If you've got both apps on your phone and you're wanting to bet a game, take a look. You may get a half a point. You may get a point, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Less juice, bigger profit. Search that out, and you'll be glad that you did. All right, so we will... Okay, we know the 11 o'clock hour. Who do we have at 10:30?
10:30, David Eicholt will be
good.
By.
Yes. Good. David Eicholt, and then Mitch Holtis, of course. Mm-hmm. I forgot to send you Mitch's audio.
Oh, that's all right. We got it. We still got a good 45 minutes.
Yeah, but I don't know my password to my Gmail account, and it's only on my iPad.
Oh, no. You don't know the Wait. Here's the breaking news. You do not know the password to your Gmail?
I have no idea.
No clue?
None.
It's not that one that you use for everything?
Well, I'll try that.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be my first guess. And then is it capital C or a small C?
Uh-huh.
Oh, they would never figure this out, Trent. If there were hackers trying to get into, they'll never in a million years get this one, right?
Uh-huh.
It's not quite 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but pretty close.
Pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close.
Can't do that one anymore. Most places lock you out. You're not allowed to do just the straight numbers anymore. Got to be a little more tricky. And I'll tell you, Gmail, I had a problem with that. It was right when I got my new phone. What was that, about a month and a half? And somehow, some way, my Gmail was hacked. Same thing.
Really?
It happened on my Facebook account. Happened there, too. and it got hacked, and suddenly...
Why are they hacking? Oh, I guess they want a bank account information.
That's the big thing. So they get into your bank account. If you have stored credit cards on there, that's where they're going. And on my phone, I got plenty of that stuff saved in there because you think it's secure. And then it happens, and that panic. And even as quickly as it is to change a password, I mean, less than 2 minutes.
Right.
But just that thought process. What's happening? Who's on my account? What do they have? What can they get out of this? Even if it is for 2 minutes, how quickly can that be done? That is not a fun feeling when you get... And I got a text message from like three people within a minute. Hey, I think you're hacked.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. It was one guy I used to work with at school, my next door neighbor, and one buddy. And they all, within a minute, said, I think he got hacked. So they must have got a message and right away knew it was something fishy and was able to change it quickly. But you know, what if I was out of pocket at the time? You know, what if I was in a meeting and all of a sudden an hour later?
Right.
What does that do? It's scary. But you can just be like you and not even know your password and not have to worry about it.
Maybe the ignorance is the way to go.
Right, yes.
But I'll try and get you that audio for Holtus. We'll
absolutely.
Join us at 10:50. All right, so David Eicholt, then our friend Mitch Holtus from Chiefs Training Camp, and Bill Bender from the Sporting News kicks off hour number two. We'll have a little fun playing around with the sports wagering apps at about 11:30. How did you do in your picks yesterday, by the way?
0-2, took a couple of long dogs, neither of them came up. It was an early grand slam. How about that for the Padres last
First
night?
First pitch he saw, Trent.
Yes, just absolutely incredible. Uh-huh. I was locked in, though, last night. I'm watching the Dodgers game.
So was I. Where were you watching it?
MLB Network.
Oh, that they had it, huh? Good for them. How many games do they show? I don't have to because I got them all.
You got them all, right.
Right, but how many games do they show?
Oh, 15 a week.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I would guess. I mean, late night, three, four times a week, there's going to be something on. Over the weekend, there's usually, I mean, the number even might be higher than that. And for somebody like me, your team's not playing late.
Right.
There's nothing locally that makes a whole lot of sense to watch. Yeah, flip it on and listen to Joe Davis talk about Vin Scully and the broadcast.
I was watching it last night, too.
It was
They picked up the Dodgers. That's what I was watching last night.
And the Dodgers feed. And that's why I was so happy to do it because I saw they had the two alternates. It was either going to be Dodgers-Giants or Padres-Rockies. And I fingers crossed, am I going to get the right one?
Right.
And I did. So that was a really, really nice listen last night. Just hearing the stories, hearing the talk, and just things that would come up and memories, and coming out of the breaks, playing some of his highlights. It was
It was awesome.
It was a really, really good experience last night.
And the game was pretty good.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, the game was pretty good. You know, buzz might not be the right word, the chatter today surrounding Vince Scully. Should Vince Scully be in the Hall of Fame? He's in the broadcaster wing. What do they call it? The Ford Fricky Award. I mean, if there is going to be one guy that, you know, not a manager, not a player, obviously. I mean, 67 years with the Dodgers.
Right.
All the World Series games that he worked for, NBC. I mean, I hate to do this because we don't have to. It's August and there's football. But if you're building a Mount Rushmore of announcers, right? Who else pops to mind more so than this cat?
It's the same argument about, you know, specialty players. What kicker, what punter should be in the... If you are the best punter of all time...
Well, Tucker's got to be that guy now.
And when it comes for him, he needs to be in the Hall of Fame first ballot. He is the best to ever do it.
Yes.
You absolutely...
Why would you keep him out for a couple...
Well, he's a kicker, and that's not as important. Right. Yes, he is not a player, but are managers in there?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Are there front office people that are in there? There have been.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the best broadcaster, the guy that did it for 67 years... It shouldn't just be that.
Right.
Absolutely. I think this is a no-doubter. I cannot understand how you can come up with an argument to say that he shouldn't be in there.
It
should have happened before this.
I agree with you, before he died.
Yes.
Right. I think if you polled Hall of Famers, they would agree. And sadly, Joe Morgan has passed, but he was adamant that... No, he doesn't want any of these air-quote cheaters. If he wouldn't have shown up with Ortiz going into the Hall of Fame. He would not have shown up on Big Poppy's day, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
It has to happen. Anyways, don't want to spend a ton of time on that, but I'd like to see it. I wonder if there's going to be a little bit of momentum start to build in that direction because, my gosh, if there's anybody else that deserves it more than him, I'd like to know who that would be.
It was a fun night of baseball for me last night.
Yeah, right?
A couple other, one I wanted to throw at you. We didn't get our full pre-production meeting here this morning, so this is coming off the cuff. I don't know if you saw the story yesterday. You ever, front office sports, It's Michael McCarthy.
On Twitter, I see it, yes.
So he was a long time, the sports media guy for USA Today for over a decade,
so
probably.
So he followed Rudy,
yes.
What was his name? Is it Martsky?
Rudy Martsky.
Yeah, I know the cat you mean.
So
yeah.
He was the guy that took over at USA Today back when newspapers were a lot more important.
And, God, I miss those days. I know that this won't go over well in some cars that are listening. I don't think we're as smart as we were. We're not as informed. Right? Because we don't have the newspaper.
Well, we're more informed with whatever we want to be informed about.
I know.
And that's where we are.
I don't know, I shouldn't call it my city, but I don't know Des Moines like I did when the Register was at my front door every day. I just don't.
Don't feel as well-rounded, maybe.
Without a doubt.
Because you take what you like and you're just going that direction. And it doesn't matter if it's sports-wise or political-wise, we have become that direction. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. That newspaper was a big part of giving you a whole bunch of things. You like the lifestyle section, you can read it.
Right.
You like sports, you read it.
Yep.
And you're also going to see that front page.
Now, to be fair, I read it with a kind of a neutral. I mean, I get the fact that there's a lot of people that say that the Register slants left. They may be right. I don't see it that way because I'm not looking for it. But I do miss it. Anyway, so your point on front business, front row sports.
Yeah, front office sports.
Front office sports.
So Michael McCarthy, this is his new venture. He's been doing it for the last couple of years. So he had an article yesterday, and it's talking about NBC making the push for the Big Ten. So a couple of nuggets that came out of this. The first
They're involved
one,
too.
Yes. So what NBC is working to do and orchestrating to do is, as we have Sunday Night Football, the number one rated television program for 11
week in,
years.
Week out.
They want Saturday Night Football.
To follow the Fighting Irish.
So it will be that. Sunday Night Football, Saturday Night Football. They're looking to make night football. You go to NBC for it. Makes
Instead
sense, right?
Instead of ABC.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You're already there for Sunday Night Football.
Right.
Come here for Saturday Night Football. You get a Big Ten game. Mm-hmm. That's what they're going to do. So that's one thing.
What would their little moniker be? Because SNF is already taken.
Right, right. You have to go a little bit different.
Right.
Are they going to bring the music? I hope so. That's good music.
I hope so, yeah.
That's good music. So we've been hearing upwards of a billion or 1.1 billion.
1.1, yes.
In this article, the conference is expected to command at least $1.25 billion now annually in the next rights deal. So the way it would play out is like this, and this is piecing together a bunch of different things. You would have what the NFL has, where you're on major broadcast networks. You would have Fox, Big Noon Kickoff, 11 a.m. for us Central Time. Your 2:30 window, CBS. You have Game 2, and then your nightcap.
And that's also
NBC.
Big Ten?
Also Big Ten. Those three entities, and the way that the Big Ten is looking at this, you have a television, you're going to be able to see this. Your cable cutter, doesn't matter.
Right.
You're going to be able to see these games.
Your
not
old
only
person
that,
can't figure out watching TV on your internet or getting watching Amazon TV, have no idea how to do that, and raised. This is brilliant. How does the SEC keep up? Because this is the race.
And they have everything now going to ABC, ESPN.
Yeah,
everything.
I know it.
The CBS game is going away. You were on that entity, and that entity alone. Where the Big Ten is looking at stretching this thing out. Fox, of course, BTN along with it. There'll be a package that'll be available, maybe a Friday night package that'll go to a streamer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have all these games on Fox, FS1, BTN, and then the single game on NBC, the single game on CBS. $1.25 billion.
Do we like Kevin Warren more, Trent?
Oh, if he pulls this one off.
You've always been his number one fan.
not quite that far. But you pull this one off, you're looking very, very good.
How now, about that?
Who is this scary for, though?
Well, it's scary for the Big 12 and the Pac-12, and where are they going to go?
Absolutely is. You do not want this to play out in this fashion. You want that CBS window to be open. You want NBC to not get a piece of the package and to try to find a way to get involved outside of Notre Dame. This is not a death knell for either of those two conferences, but this is scary.
Mm-hmm.
If it plays out in this fashion, this is a big-time concern for both the Pac-12 and the Big 12.
Back to TNT?
Right.
Right? Who was the guy's name that did the TNT broadcast?
It was the TBS, right?
Or was it TBS?
It was TBS, yeah.
Okay.
The Seneca Wallace game.
That's right.
With
exactly.
The run against Texas Tech.
Exactly. The broadcaster, Dyer and I used to have him on all the time.
Really?
He did Maverick. No, he did Spurs games.
Okay.
Oh, you'd know his name.
Yeah.
You've seen him, kind of bald. You're not kind of bald. You're the balder you're not, right? Anyways. So back to your question, where did those conferences go?
ESPN still needs inventory. Yeah. ESPN wants to do the late night window. That's good for the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. If you're the Big 12, you obviously have BYU.
Yep.
Do you tell Iowa State, Kansas State, basically all your central time zone teams, so everybody outside of the newbies in West Virginia, once a year you're going to have to play a 9:30 game, a 9:30 central kickoff. You're going to have to do that. If we're going to get the most money possible, you're going to have to do this once a year. And how does that play in Ames? A 9:30
kickoff.
Well,
if you're forced to do it, I mean...
Your game's getting done at 1.
That's brutal.
You got a two-hour drive at best.
Yeah.
College students love it, right? Yeah. You go to the bar for an hour afterwards. It's going
to
be great.
You just see wherever you leave the party and go right to the game.
But Bill, who's, you know, a farmer in Emmitsburg, he's got a two-hour drive in front of him. Mm-hmm. The guy that runs the grain mill in Osage, that's not fun. All right, so we're getting back at 3, then we get up for church at 7. Not exactly a great day. But if you're the Big 12, I think that's the card you need to be playing.
Well, Trent, that might actually be better as opposed to what I see is kind of the doomsday scenario for either the Pac-12 or the Big 12, or if they merge, is sadly they become action.
Mm-hmm. You're playing Tuesdays.
You're playing a Tuesday game. Yeah. Once a year, you got a Tuesday game.
What would you rather have, that Tuesday-Wednesday game that the MAC has, or once a year you're playing at 9:30? I think it's 9:30.
Yeah, and I think it's for sure. Oh, this is brutal.
Brutal for the Big Ten.
No, Trent, it's not. And everybody's waiting for that shoe to drop, mm-hmm. right? All of them. The Pac-12. I think we won't. But by the way, the Pac-12 and the Big 12 media fighting amongst each other. And Pac-12 versus Pac-12 media fighting amongst each other. Wow, this has been... I don't want to say hatred, but it's certainly been something, an aspect of all this realignment I didn't see coming. The R conference is better than yours, and the national guys piling on. And then the Big 12 fighting, the conference Twitter account actually fighting back last night and correcting an attendance percentage tweet.
Right.
That was it Mandel or what's our guy named Joe Wilmer?
Yeah, Wilner.
Wilner, yeah. And then Canzaro or whatever his name is. Anyways.
There's a bunch of different people that are involved in this, and it's been just...
It's been bonkers to watch this.
The back and forth, mm-hmm. and you don't know, and we have more passion. Okay.
Right.
But this is not about passion. This is about television sets. This is about people wanting to watch your product. Ultimately, that's what this is. It's a TV show.
Yep.
And it's a TV show that, unfortunately for the Big 12... And for the Pac-12 now, your best partners have left. Oklahoma and Texas, as it pertains to TV, they are gone. They are leaving the Big 12. USC and UCLA, they are leaving the Pac-12. And because of that, you are left with a bunch of programs that, yes, have passion. We know, obviously, the passion at Iowa State. But you don't think there's passion at Washington, at Oregon?
Sure there is.
There absolutely is. It's crazy to think, though.
I don't know my password. I'm trying to log in.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
this is where the argument is, that this is what we're having at this point. Who's more passionate? Oh, but, well, yes, you might have a few more people in your building, but our percentage is higher inside of our buildings. What are we fighting about here?
Right.
Just
makes no sense. Well, when will we know? Doc thinks we'll know in the next couple of weeks. He thinks that the Big Ten will let the world know as to where their games are going to air. If that's the case, the SEC is going to have to counter, because I don't know. Is ABC and ESPN enough? I mean, the Big Ten, I think, is taking the lead.
Yeah.
If they've got Channel 8, Channel 13, Big Ten Network.
Do you know how much the Big Ten teams are getting right now? It's $440 million a year. That's what their annual TV package is.
All right, this is more than 2, double.
This is going to be almost triple.
Almost triple, right.
Now you're adding 2 more mouths to feed.
But sure.
You can be able to
feed them. Pretty good ones.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's helping the bottom line here. $1.25 billion divided by 16 teams, that's going to be a pretty, pretty penny. Wild.
It's incredible. All right, we will get to our first break. David Eicholt's going to join us. When's media day over there?
Friday.
It's not till next Friday.
Next Friday, which is disappointing to me. Well, A, we're going to be in Vegas, but that's fine. Right. Be happy about that. But then the next day is Kids Day with the open practice. Mm. So you get kind of those two media windows,
right,
if you will.
Instead of separating them a little
right.
bit.
if we had it this Friday.
Right, and then you get another look-see, and then the media that assembles gets to opine what they're seeing. And do we know if the Big Ten Network is doing their tour? I haven't heard
anything. I haven't heard either.
Which kind of leads me to believe that, sadly, COVID...
We're in trouble.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's going to be a victim of the COVID when they realize they couldn't do it. They've got along fine without doing it. So we shall see. All right, David Eichold coming up. Look forward to speaking with him. Good info from Michael McCarthy. You think he's right?
I think so. I think this is what they want. They want to be over the air. They want to be NFL light.
Mm-hmm.
What the NFL has... CBS,
cut the cord, you can still get you still get Channel 13.
And you're good to go. Mm-hmm. But on those rabbit ears, mm-hmm. they're not even rabbit ears anymore, but you know what it is.
Right.
And suddenly, you're watching every Big Ten game that's basically available short of FS1.
They gave up their Channel 220. What did they call it? The
NBC Sports Network.
They gave that up. Do they have an alternative to that?
Yeah, USA, which they put a bunch of hockey on.
Yeah, that's true.
Is owned by them. So they did that. What, CNBC in the past, they've done some different things, I think, with some crossovers.
Right.
What was the Iowa State game where they ended up like on Fox Business News Channel? Do you remember that? The start of the game?
Was it the UNLV game?
Maybe. No. It was
the UNLV game started late.
It did. No, this was a couple years even before that. This is a conference game, I want to say. Maybe against Texas
and it
Tech
started,
or something.
Yeah, I don't recall.
Because
I remember the story. I don't remember what game it was. So they do have alternatives they've got, they want to find a place to park Rutgers, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to put it in one of those, not prime windows, but a window that's got a lot of spaces already taken.
I think these are just going to be separate entities. It's going to be one game a week for them. Everything else will be under the Fox umbrella with BTN. And
is FS1. ESPN going to be involved?
Do you have to keep them... at least a nugget.
Well,
a week.
I think you do. Well, I don't know if you do. Look, it was easy for them when they gave up at the NHL.
Yeah.
Right? You know what? Mm-hmm. We can give up the NHL. This is the United States. I don't know if you can do that for college football.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was easy for them to, on SportsCenter, they might throw in a hockey score, oh, by the way, 3-2 for whatever, and that would be it. I don't think you can kind of piecemeal it and just kind of gloss over. You can't. It's college football.
And it's the Big Ten.
And it's the Big Ten.
We know the attendance numbers. We know the alumni bases. You can't just ignore an entity that big.
Right. And you're going to tell me that...
You get the number 4 pick every week. And you'll probably put it on ESPN at 11 o'clock. But... that 4th pick.
Does game day ever show up again at a Big Ten school if that's the case? I hope so. By the way, who was it last week? You were gone. So you missed this little nugget. I think it was Tom Cakert that let this cat out of the bag. That there's a weekend that a block of hotel rooms has already been reserved for ESPN.
Oh, really?
And I think Tom was speculating Michigan.
Okay, that would make a lot of sense.
That would make a lot of sense. That game day may be coming to Iowa, that they've at least contingency plans are starting to be drawn up for that weekend.
Is Iowa 4-0 at that time?
Yes.
Is Michigan undefeated at that time?
Let me look. Let me get their schedule. I think Cyhawks going to be closer than I originally thought because I was giving Deckers no credit.
Mm-hmm.
I just hadn't seen
it. And too much Petrus, as always.
And I've given, okay, fair, guilty. Is Michigan undefeated? Give me 1 second. I'm getting the Michigan page right now. Michigan has.
Okay.
Colorado State.
Win.
Yeah, they're undefeated.
not a whole lot of meat, it looks like. On
Hawaii?
Rainbow Warrior. Timmy Chang coming back.
Is he?
Yeah.
Connecticut?
Well, Dan Orlovsky coming back.
And I'll say this. Maryland won't win, but. Tagliavoe is one of the underrated quarterbacks in this conference.
Unless he's awful against Iowa.
I'll give you that on that Friday night. But his body of work last year, with the exception of that game, was pretty damn good. I might take him over Petrus.
Well, I would hope so.
10:25. Take it, David Eichold. Next, it's Miller and Condon underway on Thursday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 or dental.net.
Now back to Miller and Condon. On 106.3 KXNO, here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. WNBA's Brittany Griner found guilty. There's a shock.
Yeah.
Russia? Sure, they gave her a fair shake. 9 years is her prison sentence. 9 years. A little bit of pot.
Awful.
Anyways, let's get our friend David Eicholt in here. He covers the Hawkeyes for 24/7 Sports, HawkeyeInsider.com, and he joins us. David, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you? Oh, I hit the wrong button, David. My mistake. I'll ask you again. How are you?
Hey, appreciate you guys having me on. Always a good time, so I appreciate you having me back. Things are going well.
Good stuff. So, obviously, the Hawks have taken the field. Preparations are beginning for the upcoming 2022 season. But you won't get an opportunity to talk to any of them, correct, until media day? There'll be no opportunity for a coordinator and assistant prior to next Friday?
We will not, but that's typically the case with Iowa. So obviously we'll have to jam pack a lot of questions in a lot of people in the short amount of time. But, you know, as long as we get the opportunity to do it and we'll get to see at least a glimpse of the team during Kids Day, the Kids Day scrimmage, that's good, especially since it feels like we didn't take a lot away from the spring game just because, well, I mean, it felt like half the starters were out due to precautionary reasons or injuries. So I think this will be the first time we really get a taste of what this Iowa team is going to look like this season.
Some of the biggest questions obviously surround what is happening offensively. Phil Parker has built this defense up in a way where it doesn't matter what they lose, you anticipate they're going to be solid and probably a chance to be better. Offensively, the new quarterback coach, also the offensive coordinator, Brian Ferentz, a lot of arrows. David, I was went through a deep dive last night just looking at some Spencer Petras numbers and offensive numbers. They were not pretty, as you very, very well know. How is this offense going to look different? What do you anticipate are going to be the changes we see offensively from this group?
Yeah, you know, it is interesting, though. Like you said, I did deep dive myself last night and this morning. I mean, guys, Iowa won 10 games last year, and they went through their final 8 games throwing 3 total touchdowns.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how that happens. It's literally a case study to me.
Jeez.
But, you know, I think there is, you know, reasons to be optimistic. I mean, you look at Sam Laporta, I think, is the third or fourth best tight end in the country. I'm not putting him above Michael Mayer from Notre Dame. I'm not putting him up against the Georgia Bulldogs right. Tight ends. I know Kenny, our friend Kenny, is going to be happy to hear that. But, you know, then you got Keegan Johnson, Arlen Bruce, who I think are due for breakout seasons. I think Keegan Johnson, if not this season, maybe next season, is going to be Iowa's next All Big Ten caliber receiver, and Iowa has not had one since 2011 when Marvin McNutt won that. And then obviously Nico Reganey, I think, is going to be a big X factor, especially with Charlie Jones and Tyrone Tracy gone. And Nico admitted that he got frustrated at times last year because he wasn't getting the ball, but he seems like he's taking a good approach going into this season. I think the offensive line is going to be better. I think, with all due respect to Tyler Goodson and what he did in his career at Iowa, I think Gavin and LaShawn are going to be more consistent and fit better with Iowa's running style, especially between the tackles. And if there's one thing this Iowa offense needs, guys, it's simplicity and it's consistency. Iowa needs, forget the flashy plays down the field. Iowa needs to get 5 yards of carry. They need to hit receivers in stride and then pick their opportunities to go downfield because they have guys that could eventually, you know, make plays like Keegan Johnson that we saw last season. So I'm very curious what the route tree is going to look like. And I do think that, you know, with all due respect to Spencer Petras and Brian Ferentz, it's on them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a big, big deal. Then there should be pressure. And we know that if Iowa goes out there and lays an egg offensively against South Dakota State, that noise that was loud last year, it's only going to be amplified tenfold, especially with Brian at quarterback coach.
No question, especially when you have the defense that they're going to trot out every week, because this is a real opportunity for this team. Look, they went a long way last year. They played in Indianapolis, for crying out loud. But most people think the defense is even a notch better than last year's defense. Back to the offense for just a second, David. Alec Wick came out, and he's number 2 on the depth chart. What do you know about him?
Yeah, you know, he's an interesting case. I know a lot of people are maybe overlooking him just because, obviously, there's so many injuries to this Iowa wide receiver room. But look, I think Alec Wick's a really solid receiver. That was a big win for Iowa in the preferred walk-on spot. I mean, this is one of the most productive receivers in the state's history. If I remember right, he's number 1 in the state's history in total catches and total receptions. He's number 3 in yardage. He's a very very crisp route runner. I think he has really good hands. I mean, this is a guy that I do think could get some snaps this year. Now, do I think his long-term upside is at the X receiver? No, because I'm very curious if Brody Breck's going to be able to make a play in fall camp to earn some playing time. Because I'll tell you what, it's overanalyzing video and photo season, right? Brody Breck looks like a legit red zone threat. And talking to Kayvon Merriweather, he seemed really high on Brody Breck's athleticism and his upside as well. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can break that mold. But again, I think Alec Wick was such a big win in the preferred walk-on scheme of things. I think if it had been a normal recruiting cycle, I think that's a guy that probably gets at least some D1 offers because he's legit. So I'm curious how he's going to look how much run he gets during the Kids' Day scrimmage.
The center position also, I think, a very intriguing one. You got Logan Jones, who moves over from defense. Looked like he was destined to certainly be part of the rotation there. And another one of those moves that looks like it's working very well. But his backup, Michael Malinsky, you know, in the recruiting world, this is a big-time get for Iowa. He beat out Texas for his services, a Florida kid, big-time offers in his profile. How do you think that shakes out? And both those guys, not the biggest, do either of them have the flexibility to move over to guard between Logan Jones and Michael Malinsky?
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up. So I do think that Logan Jones is going to be the starting center week one for Iowa. I almost feel bad for him because all the parallels between him and Linderbaum, and I hope people realize how outstanding and legendary Linderbaum was at that center position and give Logan Jones some time to adjust to that. But Michael Malinsky was a huge win. I mean, I believe he committed to Texas first, and then there was a coaching change. He decommitted, and Iowa continued to recruit him. He ended up going to Iowa, and that's the guy that I thought before Logan Jones switched to center was poised to take over for Linderbaum. And Malinsky got a lot of work during the regular season, but he did injure his knee in December, missed most of spring ball, but he's been back in the rotation of everything. But, you know, from talking to Kirk and talking to people around the program, Michael Malinsky is probably among the top eight right now as far as overall linemen. And I think when you look at last year, I don't see any reason for Iowa not to have everything on the table and just move players to put the best five players out there. I know Tyler Ellsbury has the right guard spot locked down. Nobody's taking Connor Colby's spot. I think he's the guy that could be a potential all-conference guy. But Michael Malinsky, it will not surprise me if he makes a run at right guard and has a battle between him and Ellsbury, especially with Justin Britt out for the season. Malinsky, he's legit. And I think people need to keep an eye on him.
You know, back to the running back for just a second. Goodson carried the ball, 250 or so times last year? Who gets those carries? How do they break down those carries? Is Gavin going to be the guy? Boy, when I see LeSean, I mean,
he's got some wiggle to him.
He does. It's good to have options. How do they break down Goodson's carries from last year?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different ways that Iowa needs to go about it. I think that Gavin's going to be the number, quote-unquote, number one. I do think it's going to be similar to a LeSean Daniels and Akram Wadley in terms of splits. Mm-hmm. I think both those guys are going to get plenty of run. I think LeSean, when you watch him, like you said, there's a little bit of wiggle, there's a little bit of twitch, but he's a powerful guy, and he doesn't shy away from anything. I think Gavin Williams being a between-the-tackles guy is a big deal. I think both those guys can probably combine for, you know, 30, 32 carries a game. And another guy I'd really love to see in red zone situations and short yardage, I think you know I'm going with this, I'd love to see freshman Caleb Johnson get some reps. I mean, you talk about a guy that's probably the most physically gifted, built running back that has probably ever come through Iowa, or at least up there. I mean, guys, the kid's 18. He looks like he's in his third year in the NFL.
Really?
He's absolutely insanely built, incredibly strong. And if he gets Iowa's zone running scheme down, I really, really think he can make a push to be Iowa's third running back this year. And as you know, with Iowa's history, they're knocking on wood, they can't have too many running backs ready to go.
It's a good thing to have, no doubt about it. The tight end position, Sam Laporta is there. You feel good. Lachey, we've seen enough from him to feel good. But to bring in a grad transfer that actually has 2 years of eligibility and some young guys in a season where you don't have a lot of wide receivers, there's just not a lot of depth there. There's not a lot of numbers there overall. 2 and 3 tight end sets after those two. Who else should we be watching for at the tight end position?
Yeah, like you said, Steven Stylianos, I think, is going to be a big name for people to know. I mean, guys, he's 6'5", 6'6", 265 pounds. I mean, he's built like a Mack truck. So I think I would go on those 3 tight end sets and running the ball between the tackles. That might be a way to go. But a name that really caught my ear during Big Ten Media Days was Johnny Pascuzzi. And Kirk said, look, he might not be ready this year, but this is a guy that I think could help us in the future. And our own Sean Bach scouted him a few times when he was in high school, talked to him, did a couple stories on him. And Sean, I remember having a conversation with Sean, and he said, look, I think people need to realize this is a very, very good get for Iowa, and it will not surprise me if he ends up being kind of the surprise of that walk-on class. And that's exactly what he wrote when we did our full recap of that recruiting class. So I would keep an eye on Johnny Pascuzzi as a guy that could definitely emerge. But, you know, again, I think Iowa's breakout player for offense this year, I mean, I'm counting Keegan Johnson, I'm counting Arlen Bruce, sorry, quote-unquote, broken out. Look, guys, I think Luke Lachey is legit. I mean, he's got all the athleticism in the world. And the reality is Iowa's red zone offense is exactly – that's the one big thing that Iowa needs to improve on, even more than consistency. Because guess what? Those automatic threes that they would get, the field goals, they're not automatic anymore. Because all the kickers on the roster haven't had a kick.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yet. So I think Luke Lachey, Brody Brex, Iowa finding a way to turn those threes into sevens. I mean, guys, that's going to win you games, especially when you look at the schedule coming down the stretch. So I'd keep an eye on Johnny Pascuzzi, but again, I'd also keep an eye on Luke Lachey. He hasn't arrived, but I do think he'll arrive by the end of the season.
Yeah, interesting. So I didn't realize that the what did you say, three touchdowns in the last how many games?
Three touchdowns through the final eight games of the season, two of which came against Minnesota, both by Alex Padilla, and then the other one was, I believe, the tight end screen to Sam LaPorta in the Citrus Bowl.
That's the only touchdown Petras had over his last six games. Before that, outside of the screenplay, it was that touchdown in the Penn State game.
So I just looked. Between the two of them, 12 touchdown passes, 11 picks. So if they get this to between the two of them, I don't know, maybe Petras will get all of them. 24-9? I mean, they were 10-2 last year. How good if those quarterbacks put up those kind of numbers, how high is the bar set for this program?
I mean, guys, again, it's a case study to me. I know people will hate me saying this, but you put Iowa special teams on Nebraska, Nebraska probably wins the Big Ten West. I mean, that's how close the margins were, I think, last season. And, you know, I think that there should be pressure on Petras. He's a third-year starter, and I know I've said this. I mean, Ken, I think you and I talked about this a week ago or so. The issue isn't Spencer Petras' arm talent. The guy has a cannon for an arm. He can throw the ball accurately downfield.
He doesn't want to make a mistake.
Right now, it's just all mental, and not mental as an IQ. It's all confidence, and it's all about staying true to the mechanics. And I think when you look at last season, it got to a point where Petras was, you know, getting hit every other play. He was playing injured, and he starts seeing phantoms. And he would just kind of lose his mechanics and get frazzled when there was no reason to get frazzled. Because, again, you look at the talent they have in the skill positions. I think as a collective group, it's probably among the most naturally talented group that Kirk's had, you know, and at least make an argument for it. So it's going to come down to confidence and staying true to the mechanics. And Iowa cannot be afraid to make mistakes. I think it got to a point where the offense was so afraid to make any little mistake, they wouldn't take any shots down the field. And then it would put so much pressure on the defense to take the ball away. So Iowa needs to be more risky with the offense at the end of the day if they're going to continue to make strides and instill confidence in themselves. And again, consistency. They need to find a way to manage it. The route trees are important. The play calling is going to be important. I think the O-line is going to be better. But it's going to come down to Spencer Petras' shoulder. But he's been in the program long enough. He's started enough games that you got to rise to the occasion. I think that's what people are eager to see.
David Eichholt, 24/7 Spots, HawkeyeInsider.com. David, thank you for doing this. We'll talk to you either next week or the following. Thank you, David. We appreciate your contribution.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Yep, good to hear from you. Take care, Dave. David Eichholt, as we go inside. I had no idea it was that bad.
It was brutal. And those were some of those numbers that I went through. How about this? These are some numbers I unearthed. One touchdown the last six games for Petras on that screen pass in the bowl game. 11 of the 19 games that he has played significant minutes, he has thrown for under 200 yards. In his first career start, he threw for 265. That's a career high. Since then, only once has Spencer Petras thrown for more than 225 yards. 225, not a real high bar. That game was the Maryland game a year ago, the Friday night game. That's where we are. That's the quarterback numbers that you're looking at. Two times over 225 in his career. Nate Stanley, in his 39 career starts, 41% of the time, he threw for more than 225. Hmm. It's not a system problem. It's a quarterback problem.
Mm-hmm. And the arm talent's there. Just throw the ball, kid.
The football talent isn't, though.
No, I know.
Arm talent is. Football talent isn't.
I think he's worried to make a mistake.
Yes.
I really do. Just get over that. Just throw it.
He can't. You can't fix this.
Then you can't play him.
Been saying that for a year and a half.
But what you got? But what do you have behind him?
Anything. But he is not great.
No.
But he's better than the alternative. And the alternative is Spencer
Peters. But you know
what?
When he was in there, he looked okay. Maybe they should be playing. But then all of a sudden, is he really that much better?
He was brutal in the first half of the Nebraska game. Also, remember, he was sick.
I don't remember that, but I'll take your word for it. I'm not saying wrong.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Mitch Holtis.
Because that
next.
Was the whole Deuce Hogan thing, if we had to go with Deuce, because both the quarterbacks were sick.
Yeah, and then Ferentz said what he said, and then Hogan leaves the program.
We wouldn't have left Iowa City if Deuce was going to be our quarterback.
He said it jokingly, and it didn't go over well. It was cringeworthy, I'll give you that. Mitch Holtis next, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
I'm fair.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. We take you up until noon. Bill Bender, sporting news coming up, back to college football in hour number two. Right now, Mitch Holt is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Papa John's, the Donaldsons in central Iowa. They make Mitch's appearance as possible, and he joins us. Hello, Mitch Holt. Trenton Ken, how are you?
Hello, men. Doing very well. A gorgeous day today. We're getting the work in here in St. Joe. And before I get into anything, I need to mention a proud graduate of the West Des Moines Valley Tigers and an Iowa State Cyclone who is one of our camp interns in PR, Kelsey Bowl. I need to throw that out there because I don't remember when we've had a PR intern from Valley High, Iowa State combo. So I'm going to throw that out there just to get things started.
Absolutely. You can never localize it enough, and we appreciate you with doing this. So in St. Joe's, Mitch, how have the crowds been? Does it seem like everything's back the way it once was prior to this period of everybody's lifetime?
Yeah, excellent question. Yes. The Chiefs, though, in case fans are listening and want to come, and it's an easy trip, we mention that every year from Des Moines, they do have to get a ticket, although it's free most days. The Chiefs are still requiring an electronic ticketing, just like going to a game. But and they're also capping it off. So generally a sellout here would be 5,500 to 6,000. We have had those kind of crowds here, and another big one today. So, yes, to answer your question, it has been pretty much seemingly back to normal, at least 2019 levels.
That's great to see, and certainly want to get that defense back to the level they played late in the season. Not so much in September, but certainly what we saw as the season progressed. And one of those big names we're certainly taking a look at here is Nick Bolton. Fill us in a little bit on the linebacker and some newness coming up for him this season.
Well, let's take Nick first and foremost. One of the most asked questions that I've had since spring and summer, or since the Chiefs did not re-sign Tyrann Mathieu, is who's going to take over the leadership of the defense? What's going on with this defense? I even retweeted that James Jones saying the Chiefs will be last in the division and they have the worst defense in the division. Okay. All that being said, I lose sleep over a lot of stuff. I have lost no sleep over who's going to take over the leadership of this defense. And I'm going to hit you 2 days with this. But it starts with Nick Bolton, the second-year linebacker out of Missouri, who's wearing the green dot. Now, just to re-educate everybody on the green dot, you have one defensive guy that can have radio communication with your sideline, like the offense will have with the quarterback. That communication has to happen between 40 seconds and 15 seconds on the play clock. Then they mute it. But that defensive play caller has got to hear the call, relay it, either verbally or non-verbally, to the other 10 players on the field, because if that does not happen, you've got big problems. For Nick Bolton, even though it's in his second year, he's got football instinct, and he was a big leader at Mizzou. He is embracing wearing the green dot.
Oh, yeah, man, it's been exciting. Just kind of get back to where I was in college with never controlling the defense and that aspect of it. But, again, it's still a stepping stone. I still got a long way to go. I'm having fun right now, and I'm enjoying myself, and these guys are giving me confidence every single day, so it's exciting to be here.
The other part that's exciting, guys, is the increased athleticism on defense. I've alluded to that on these other reports, but especially at linebacker. This is a group that's younger, feistier, and much more athletic. Willie Gay Jr., They picked up Elijah Lee, former 49er and Cleveland Brown, former K-State Wildcat. But Nick has noticed that from year one to year two, the athleticism in the linebacker room.
Yeah, we got some youth down there, down the road, myself included. Second year, Willie's third year, and then we just got in Leo. Also got some vets in the room we brung in. We got JC, we brung in from Carolina, and also got Elijah Lee coming in from Cleveland. That's where his last was at. So all those guys coming in every single day, pushing each other, communicating with each other, trying to see different things. And so we're coming in, dealing in as a group. We're only getting better. So I'm excited to see what we got as well.
To me, I've mentioned this, but I think it'll be the shocking factor. James Jones hasn't seen this defense yet, and things have to kind of clip together. But, guys, they have a chance to be way better on defense.
You know what I keep coming back to, and the Andy Reid and company did not have a first-round pick in 2021. That 2021 draft, Mitch, for not having a first-round pick and getting the guys, both of the, you know, the staples on the offensive line, and then Nick Bolton, who I believe was – he was gone first before Creed Humphrey, I think. He's either that or vice versa. Yeah. But the 2021 draft, for not having a first-round pick, my gosh, home run.
And good point, Ken. So think of Leonard and Nicole. Darius Leonard, just the stud he is. Nick Bolton was the first rookie in the league since Darius Leonard to have over 100 tackles and 10 tackles for a loss. I can register 12 tackles, but if you're gaining 7 yards every time,
right,
that's 12 tackles, but you're getting 94 yards. Nick Bolton had 11 tackles for losses. The one game he wore the green dot last year, Hitch was hurt, was Tennessee. So it's King Henry and that bunch of dudes. And Nick had 4 tackles for losses and I believe 15 tackles, one of the best performances in Chiefs history. So you're on pace with this. The 2021 draft class was awesome. And we're hoping 2022 fits in right behind him.
No doubt. Matthew, terrific Chief, obviously, was not where he started his career, but boy, the impact that he made when he is there. And I know he's moved on. But how will you remember his Chiefs tenure?
Well, he was phenomenal in 2019 and just a transformational player. He struggled in 2020, and then 2021, he really struggled. But still didn't lose his sense of team and the sense of having impact behind his own game. I know I mentioned that on our first couple reports, but guys, it's not easy to find those guys anymore. And Tyron embraces it. He's got a lot of dimensions to his life, and he'll do great. I don't worry about Tyron Matthew either.
Let's talk about Papa John's, Mitch Holtis. They make it possible for you to join us. Let's give them some love.
Trent.
Yeah.
Kent has already got this, mm-hmm. right? But this pepperoni stuffed crust pizza, Ken knows this. Yeah. It's epic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Trent, you were gone. It's epic pepperoni stuffed crust pizza. $13.99 at Papa John's. Get ready for the State Fair. Get ready for the Hall of Fame game. Get ready for the Cyclones, the Panthers, the Hawkeyes, the Bulldogs with an epic pepperoni stuffed crust pizza, $13.99. Tomorrow, I'm going to hit. Some people might think, hey, Bolton, yeah, I could see him. I'm going to tell the guy that's as much or more that people don't know about. We'll do that tomorrow.
Look forward to it, Mitch Holtis. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the pizza.
Indeed, we will. Mitch Holtis is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, Bill Bender, Trent, and I are going to talk a little college football to start the hour. Then we're going to get into those DraftKings specials that Trent alluded to early in the program. Some really interesting props that have come your way. We will discuss that. Trent's play of the day will be coming up at the end of the program. That is sponsored by Circus Sports. There is NFL football tonight. Miller and Condon, 1 hour to go. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.